You know, the principle of remembering great sacrifice to provide freedom and liberty for others is based and centered in the gospel. You will remember that on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, He took bread and He gave thanks for that bread and He gave to His disciples and He told them, "Take, eat, this do in remembrance of me." And then He took the cup, and when He had supped, saying, "This is the New Testament in my blood." And He told them to take it and to drink it and to do this in remembrance of Him. And He was teaching His disciples and His believing people in the times to come that they were to remember Him in the sacrifice that He made. The Lord Jesus Christ died to provide salvation, to provide freedom from the tyranny of the devil and the slavery and the bondage and the guilt of sin. And He would have us to remember that great sacrifice. In fact, it's the greatest sacrifice that ever was made. He would have us remember it. And I believe, therefore, that we have an example in the gospel that we can apply, and we do apply, to human sacrifice, or to, if you'll allow me to use the term, in comparison to Christ's sacrifice. We have warrant to say that on a human level we can remember the lesser sacrifices of men that have been made to preserve and to guarantee the freedom and liberty that we enjoy in this land, and to preserve that liberty from tyranny, dictatorship, and terrorism. And therefore tonight, we have remembered those who have given their lives in the great wars and in the defense of our province over the years. And we remember them and we thank God for them. However, tonight I want to draw your attention to a plea to be remembered. It's not the plea of Christ to remember Him, but rather it's the plea of a man to Christ, that Christ would remember him. And we read it there in Luke chapter 23 and the verse 42. And He said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." This scene brings us to Calvary. And there the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. And you will remember that on His right hand they nailed a criminal, and on His left hand they put to death another criminal, so that the prophecy of Isaiah 53 and 12 was fulfilled, that He was numbered with the transgressors. Then the scenes that took place at the cross. One of those men looked at Christ, and he spoke to the Savior, and he mocked Him, and he blasphemed until he took his last breath, and he died a rebel against God and Christ. He died a rebel against the gospel. But there was another man there on that cross. And while he mocked the Lord at the beginning of His crucifixion, before he died, he turned to the Savior and he made that plea to Christ. "Remember me when thou comest in to thy kingdom." And before I go any further tonight, I want to tell you, men and women, that when your time on earth is over, you will die, either as the unrepentant thief who rejected Christ and the gospel right to the end of his life, or you will die like the other thief, the other man, who cried, Lord, remember me. And his sins were forgiven. And the Lord gave him the assurance that though he was a sinner, his sins were pardoned, and he would enter into heaven, into the paradise of God. I want to remind you of that tonight. Because it is my prayer, and it is our desire, that when your time on earth is over, and those of the congregation from Bethany gather today in the house of mourning, at a funeral service just this afternoon, we have been reminded again that death will come to one and all in time. And I'm challenging you tonight. Will you die as the one who rejects Christ and rejects the gospel? Or will you die as the one who cried, remember me, and enter into the bliss of eternal life in the paradise of God in heaven itself? Let me put to you this evening a number of things of this great plea to be remembered. It was a plea of realization. This man realized, he called on Christ because he realized he was a condemned sinner. I want you to listen to those words in verse 40 and 41. He's actually speaking to his fellow criminal, if you want to put it that way. He rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation. Now listen to this. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. Here was the man, and albeit it was the final moments of his life, but here was a man who before he left this earth, in the final hours, he faced up to the fact that he had broken the laws of God and the laws of man. And furthermore, he recognized that he was being justly punished for his sins and for his crimes. He realized that he was a condemned sinner, and he was being punished. He was receiving the just reward for his sin. And I put it to you tonight that if you want the Lord to remember you in this life and in the world to come, if you want the Lord to think upon you and save you from your sins, then the first step is to realize that you are a sinner. You may never have committed the crimes that this man committed. In fact, let me say to you, this man is what we would call in modern day language, this man that was nailed to the tree, he was being crucified because he was, as it were, a terrorist in his day. We believe he was one of Barabbas' gang. He was one of those who had rebelled against the powers that be. And Rome had caught up with him, crucifying for his crimes against the state. And I'm saying, you may never have committed the crimes in life that this man has committed. I fully acknowledge and would accept that. But I put it to you nevertheless, that you were born into this world a son or daughter of Adam's race, and as such you have a sinful nature, and in thought, word and deed, you have sinned against God within your life. And the Bible tells us that sin against God brings the just condemnation of God upon us for our sins. I wonder tonight, have you realized that? You see, this wasn't only a cry of realization in the fact that he understood he was a condemned sinner. This was a cry of realization because he realized he had a concern for the future. Listen to those words to his companion in crime again. He said, dost not thy fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation. Here was a man who realized he was in the final hours of his life. And yet he understood that death was not the end. He understood that in the world to come, he was going to meet God. And he's saying to his companion, "Do you not fear to meet God? And do you not fear to meet him in your state of sin?" The Bible tells us in Hebrews 10 and 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And while the Christian, the man or woman who has called upon the Lord, has had the experience of God's salvation and their sins forgiven, while death is a very precious thing, for precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, yet the Bible teaches us that death is not the end. And this man understood that. He realized that while his body would die, his spirit would return to God who made it, and he would stand before the Lord, and in a state of sin, it would be a fearful thing to meet the Lord. And therefore he cried unto the Lord, "Remember me." I am asking you tonight, have you realized those things? You may be an upstanding citizen. You may have made sacrifice for your nation and for your country. You may have given your time and your efforts in the defense of our nation, but please understand, all of those things, while they are commendable in life, they will not make you right with God and ready to meet him in the great eternity. I'm asking you, have you realized that you were born in sin and shapen in iniquity? I'm asking you, do you understand that there's a world to come, and to meet God in your state of sin is a fearful thing? And it was out of that realization that this man looked to Christ and he cried, "Remember me." But I want to say secondly tonight that this is a cry, "Remember me." It's not only a cry of realization as far as he was concerned. It is a cry of recognition. When he called upon the Lord to remember him, he said, "Lord," and listen to those words, "remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." This man recognized something about Jesus Christ. And I wonder, have you recognized those same things? The Lord was nailed to the tree. His colleague was mocking him. "If you're the King of Israel, if you're the Messiah, if you're the Son of God, come down from the cross and we'll believe you." And yet this man, he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He recognized Christ would die. And yet he recognized that beyond the grave, Christ would enter into his eternal kingdom. And he would sit upon the throne. The psalmist prophesied of it in Psalm 110. "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." And when Jesus rose from the grave and 40 days later he ascended into heaven from the Mount of Olives, he sat at his Father's right hand, enthroned as the Prince, as the Savior, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, awaiting the day when he returned to this world to judge the living and the dead. And this man, in the dying moments of his life, recognized that Christ was the King of the eternal kingdom. He's the sovereign God of all. And therefore he turned to him and he cried, "Remember me." What do you see when you look at the cross? What do you see when you look at Jesus dying on the tree? Do you see one that the world and the atheist and the skeptic and the Jew would tell you was crucified in defeat and in shame? Or do you see one that was crucified in glory, who suffered the just for the unjust, that upon his resurrection and ascension he'd enter into his glory and offer salvation unto all who would believe? And what do you see in Christ? This man recognized that Christ was the sinless King. He said to his companion, "This man hath done nothing amiss." He was the sinless one. And in the scheme of redemption, Jesus Christ perfectly kept the law of God on behalf of all his people. Men and women, there was only one man who lived and never sinned. And the Psalms tell us we're to mark the perfect man. That man is Jesus. He did no guile. There was no guile in his mouth. He did no sin. He knew no sin. He was holy. He was harmless. And in the scheme of redemption, he lived a perfect life. On behalf of his people, he perfectly kept the law. But oh, this thief, in his plea, he didn't only recognize him as the sinless King. He recognized him as the suffering King, nailed to that cross. The crown of thorns driven into his brow. The blood flowing down his back as he'd been whipped and scourged by the Romans before he was crucified. That spear that would shortly be plunged into his side and pierce his heart. You know, the Lord Jesus tells us why he suffered. In Luke chapter 24, just the next chapter, he tells those two weary disciples on the road to Emmaus, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" The path to the crown was through suffering. And Jesus humbled himself under the cruel death of the cross, that in his resurrection he would ascend and be seated at his Father's right hand and receive the kingdom. Can I tell you why he suffered? The Bible tells us he who knew no sin was made sin. And the Bible tells us that at the cross, the Father laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. He suffered for our sins. He took our sins and our sorrows and he made them his very own. And on the cross, he suffered the penalty and the punishment that you and I should have received for our sins. So that by his death, he has provided salvation from sin and from destruction and from eternal ruin and hell. He has provided that salvation through his death on the cross. He was the suffering King, but praise God, he was the sovereign King. For the thief recognized that the Savior would come into his kingdom and he would take the throne. And I tell you tonight, men and women, Jesus Christ, he's no longer on the cross. Never will man spit in his face again. Never will man mock him again in the sense to his face. Never will man crucify him afresh or again. For he rose from the grave, the tomb is empty. He ascended into heaven and he conquered death. And he's at his Father's right hand. My Bible tells me that someday the heavens are going to rend. And the Savior is going to descend and triumph in glory and in power. And he is going to judge the living and the dead. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He rules over all and one day he will judge all. And the thief on the cross recognized it and he made that plea. "Lord, will you remember me?" Tonight, have you recognized that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, but he's the sovereign God of heaven, and he's the only one that can save your soul? That brings me to my final point tonight. This is a plea of realization. Realized he was under condemnation for his sin. It was a plea of recognition. He recognized Christ was Lord of all. But it was a plea of redemption. For look at those wonderful words. If you don't have a Bible, let me read them to you again in verse 43. "And Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today Isn't that wonderful? Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. My Bible tells me that whosoever, that includes you. I don't know who you are. I'm new to Portadown. I was born in Belfast, brought up in Newton Abbey. I served the Lord for 7 years in Scotland and then 5 years in Antrim. And I've emigrated to County Armagh just in the last couple of months. I don't know many of you here tonight. I hope to get to know you. But I tell you, my Bible tells me whosoever, and that includes you, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved from their sins. Hallelujah. And here's a man, I tell you, he was a wretch of a man. I think if we were standing at the cross, we would have said he deserved all he gets. We would have had little for the crimes he had committed. And yet, here's a man. And he looked to Christ. And he said, Lord, remember me. He called upon the Lord. And the Lord saved him. He was on the verge of eternity. And he called upon the Lord. And the Lord forgave him. And the Lord pardoned him. And he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. My friend, if you have an experience like that. And I had an experience like that. As a young man of 17 years of age in my own bedroom at home, I got down on my knees at my bedside and I thought of myself and my friends could see me now, they'd laugh me to scorn. And then I began to pray and I thought, Daryl, you're talking to yourself. Thank God I wasn't talking to myself and I wasn't talking to the wall. I was talking to the Lord. And I don't know what I prayed that night, but I simply asked the Lord to forgive my sin and to save my soul. Praise God, that night I became a Christian. You know, men and women, when you become a Christian, if you have an experience like this man, you call upon the Lord to be your Savior in the hour and moment of death. The Bible tells us when you close your eyes in death in this life, you'll open them in the paradise of God in heaven itself. The Bible tells us where paradise is. It's the third heaven. There's the heavens where the birds fly. There's the heavens where the stars and the planets are. And there's the third heaven, the Father's house, God's abode. And the moment you close your eyes in death, you'll be in the paradise of God. Isn't it wonderful, that word today? Today, the Lord Jesus entered into paradise. So did that man that cried, remember me. I want to close tonight by asking, and I want to be very personal. I'm almost done, but I want to be personal. We heard on Wednesday night, child evangelist in the city of Belfast, she told us that in some of the schools that she does assembly, she's told you're not allowed to make the gospel personal. And so she has to talk in those assemblies in very general terms. She speaks in general terms about the Savior dying on the cross for anyone who will believe. My friend, I want to just close by being personal. The Lord died upon the cross and shed His blood. That if you believe and if you call upon the Lord, then He will save you. And He will save you now from your sin. And I wonder as we close, is there someone in the meeting and you are in the same mind as that dying thief? You realize you have sin to account for. You fear meeting God in your sin. You recognize that Jesus Christ is the Lord of all creation and the judge of all the earth. Then tonight I say to you, friend, call upon Him. As the thief did. Lord, remember me. In this remembrance service, when we've remembered those who have made sacrifices for our freedom and our liberties, Lord, in this remembrance service, remember me, my poor sinful soul. Save my soul from sin. And I tell you, the Lord will do it. If there's such an one, I'm your servant for Christ's sake. The Reverend Elliot is here. We're glad to help you. Speak to us at the end of the service. We'll be glad to show you how you can have the assurance of sins forgiven, and peace with God, and a place in the paradise of God in heaven, and life on earth